Breaking news, Comey's so-called private memos were actually government documents, and they contained classified information.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Fox News has confirmed through a legal source who is close to the matter that these summaries of the Trump-Comey meetings are being handled as government records and not Comey's personal memos or recollections as he testified to Congress.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
If this is true, no official can just give these documents out. And in the case of James Comey, what he testified to is he gave them to a friend to give them to the media. You can't do that. It's against the law.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We've told you time and time again, Jim Comey is a liar. Couldn't recall things, made up things, constantly had to be corrected when he had a staff at the FBI about his testimony. Said he never heard about Jeff Sessions' recusal, even though it was the email from Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, Chief of Staff, to Jim Comey was then produced. And, oh, he had to, again, clarify that. And that was his most recent testimony under oath after he was fired as FBI director. Remember, he said that in the memos that he had his friend leak, the memos that we haven't seen yet, but now congressional committees are beginning to review, that these memos have classified markings on them. In fact, four of the seven memos relating to meetings between Jim Comey and President Trump have classification marks. Some are marked classified as secret. Some are marked classified as confidential. These are marks that anyone would understand, including Jim Comey. They also are being considered government documents, not his own private documents, which means just taking them, even the non-classified ones, and taking them out of the office into your own personal possession, and then going and sharing it. That alone is a crime, 18 U.S.C. 641. Now, if the document that was leaked to the reporter was then classified, well, then there's a whole host of other laws Jim Comey has violated. But the one question is, and I think we have to play his testimony. Let's listen. I don't love hearing his voice, but let's go back to Jim Comey testifying about this very question about classification and his memos.
So you didn't consider your memo or your sense of that conversation to be a government document. You considered it to be somehow your own personal document that you could share with the media as you wanted to?
Correct.
Through a friend?
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president. As a private citizen, I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
Now, he then goes on to say, and now this is where it's going to get very interesting, because he said he recorded these memos privately with the president to kind of, you know, have this memorialize the meetings. Now there were nine, but he did seven memos. But he then goes on to Senator Blunt and gets asked again, what about the other memos? Are they all classified? Are they all unclassified? I mean, who was making this call? Bite number three.
So were all of your memos that you've recorded on classified or other documents, memos that might be yours as a private citizen?
Oh, yeah, not the classified documents. Unclassified, I don't have any of them anymore, but I gave them to the special counsel. But, yeah, my view was that the content of those unclassified, the memorialization of those conversations was my recollection recorded.
So, again, we don't know yet if the memo that was leaked to the New York Times through Comey's law professor friend was one of those classified documents. We don't know that. We know now that he said he had given them over now that there was a special counsel. But what we do know is that Jim Comey has committed at least one crime here, which is the taking of government property, potentially the leaking of classified information now, and that there needs to be an investigation into Jim Comey because he is already, I could say, has now taking part in criminal conduct, not just bad, not just wrong, but actual, not just even perjury, potentially, but criminal conduct, and it needs to be further investigated. Sounds like it is, but this would be outside of the special counsel's investigation. Logan, I want to take people's phone calls on this.
Yeah, phone lines are jamming up really fast, so call right now if you want to get your voice heard. This is your opportunity, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. We'll be right back for more.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So Jim Comey, the fired former FBI director, he wrote those memos about his uncomfortable meetings with President Trump. Remember, that's in his own words. There were nine either conversations or in-person meetings. He recorded seven memos, put down seven memos. He then claimed that those memos were his own personal recollection, not the government property. Well, the FBI has now deemed these memos to be government property. And get this, folks, four of the seven are classified documents, either secret or confidential, and they've got the markings on them. This is coming from the the members of Congress and these the select committees. This would be the Intel Committee, I believe, that are finally able to review these documents. And obviously, this is coming out of kind of a leak from Congress. But I think it's one in a sense of that we're now dealing with not memos that are just Jim Comey's to use. And I think it may have also been a signal to Jim Comey as well, that the government has deemed these to be a government property. And we're talking about the FBI, by the way, not Congress. So his actual former agency is deeming them to be. And that's when you get into legal trouble with, for instance, 18 U.S.C. Section 641. We give you the facts here. Why has Jim Comey likely committed a crime? That law states that whoever embezzles or converts to his own use or the use of another or without authority converts any record, or thing of value of the U.S. commits a crime, which depending upon its value would either be a misdemeanor or felony punishable by up to 10 years. And by the way, value is not just something determined in, like, did you take a stapler? It's determined in the importance of what you took. Right. So here the value of a presidential communication that led to a special counsel.
Highly valuable.
Could go from taking this from a misdemeanor to a felony. But let's get aside from that. Either way, crime. FBI director, former and fired, criminal, and may have committed perjury if that document was one of the four that was classified when he said it wasn't, and may have committed perjury when he said that there was private memos. We don't know at the time when the FBI deemed those to be, but I'm just telling you, we already know he has committed a crime that can be prosecuted, and there's about three more, and I'll go through those through the show, that he could potentially be prosecuted for. So we've already got one. One is 18 U.S.C. 641. It's almost clear he did that. Two would be the Privacy Act, which is disclosing information about individuals without authority. And same reason why your tax returns are not allowed to be disclosed by the IRS. You'd have to do that on your own. The IRS is not, if they do that, they are violating the law. So that's the Privacy Act. There is information, of course, there's the Espionage Act. That'd be if the information's classified. And so we don't know if the memo that was leaked was classified. We also don't know if his friend got all seven memos or who else has them. And then fourth, there is a, as an FBI director, there's an executive order, 13526, which was signed by President Obama, which would subject him to potential sanctions. So there's a number of legal issues coming Jim Comey's way, and it may be why, since that testimony, things have changed substantially for him. But I want to take people's thoughts on this as well.
All right, let's go to Robert of Maryland on line one. Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Logan. Hi, Jordan. I wanted to ask the both of you the question, but these new revelations of former director, FBI Director Jim Comey, four out of those seven documents being listed or labeled classified. I wanted to ask the question, if they find out that some of those classified documents are even linked to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in reference to the email, the non-secured email server that she used to put classified information on, that does that reopen investigations on Hillary Clinton as well? Is
well,
opening
it's
an
interesting.
Investigation
Jim Comey is you know, he's like violating his own standards. You know, remember, he, as you said, Robert, he criticized Hillary Clinton. Now, he said no prosecutor would bring a charge, and that was not his role to make that decision. That would be the Department of Justice, not the FBI. But that it was clearly the documents that she had mishandled through a private server had the classification markings, like his documents, like four of the seven of his documents. And so, again, I think what needs to be understood here is that, one, could you reopen that? Sure. These memos are only about the Trump meetings, though. That's what we know here, is that these seven memos are only about Jim Comey meeting with President Trump. That further memos, which may exist as government records in Jim Comey's file, that he didn't take with him necessarily because they are government records, as these memos have now been deemed to be treated as by the FBI, which is important legally for if you are going to charge Jim Comey with any crimes. That's important legally that they are treated as government documents, and the FBI is doing that. So certainly, again, I think he's going a step further than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton wasn't leaking all this info out. She was improperly keeping it, and she wasn't safely keeping it, and it was certainly suspicious, but she wasn't leaking her meetings out to her law professor friends and then to the New York Times about the current president of the United States. And that is what Jim Comey was doing. He went a step further than what Hillary Clinton has done, in my opinion. But I want to continue to take phone calls on this. This is huge breaking news. Yeah. At a time when they are trying to tarnish now the Trump family with this set-up Russian meeting, which, by the way, folks, as I tweeted out, this set-up meeting between some of President Trump's sons and campaign officials and this Russian attorney was set up by a group of opposition researchers for the Democrat Party. I mean, so again, this whole idea, it was, and they were coming to right. them supposedly with information that Hillary Clinton was getting money from Russians. Russians. I mean, why would that be bad for them to learn?
Yeah.
Why would that be wrong for them to know? Or, and by the way, it didn't end up being about that, and they shut down the meeting.
Yeah, they were building the narrative even then, right. just in case. So
you realize they were building that narrative, Logan. All the way before,
a year ago, yeah, plus,
so they could start to undermine. That's after he got. It's right after he seized the nomination.
So they thought, just in case.
Yeah, we need a narrative that the Russians are the reason why Donald Trump won. So they
right.
started this.
I mean, you're surprised it didn't come out before then, that they didn't start using that in the campaign. But now they're going to do it to try to undermine the presidency, undermine his family. But as we all know, this is just the typical politics. And not to say that probably doesn't happen on both sides of the aisle, but definitely happened more on this side or the other side of the aisle. This time around, creating a story that has turned out to be nothing. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Linda, who's calling in Falls Church, Virginia, on line three. You're on the air.
Hi. I have 2 points. Number one, first of all, I remember you saying that James Comey said that he did this as a private citizen. I don't know how he could even claim that since he was head of the FBI at the time that he did this, number one. And then number two, my question is, why hasn't he been prosecuted? In other words, what is the avenue for this? Does the Department of Justice, would they have to be the ones
yeah.
to initiate?
So, Linda, the Department of Justice could request the FBI to open an investigation. or the FBI could go to the Department of Justice to request to open an investigation. So it all works with inside the Department of Justice. This, I believe, would be outside the scope, by the way, of the special counsel. He's using these documents for the purposes of that investigation. I don't believe that necessarily the potential prosecution of Jim Comey for criminal acts as a former FBI director in regards to these memos, that could be a separately handled, doesn't need a special counsel through the regular FBI DOJ chain, unless there was a feeling that the FBI would be so inclined to protect their own that even though supposedly Jim Comey wasn't that popular among a lot of FBI officials, the D.C. crowd he was, that maybe then you would need a separate special counsel outside of the FBI apparatus and DOJ apparatus to prosecute this. But what we do know is that they're there to prosecute Jim Comey. Absolutely, without a doubt. It's not that he's just a weasel. It's not that he's lied under oath and potentially committed perjury, which could be, you know, these are tougher crimes. To sometimes get people with. This is a clear crime in 18 U.S.C. 641, likely also the Espionage Act because of the classified information, Privacy Act concerns here as well, and of course the potential for perjury, lying under oath, if this document was in fact one that was marked classified with one of the either ratings as secret or confidential. It is very important for everyone to understand that just by the FBI treating these Comey memos as government documents, he has violated the law by taking them and giving them to a friend and then to a reporter. But just by taking them, he has violated the law. They don't have to be the classified ones. Just by taking one of the memos, he has violated the law. Take a listen. I think this answers your question about he was trying to say that, and we can do it quickly, that he was doing this a private citizen. Byte two.
So you didn't consider your memo or your sense of that conversation to be a government document. You considered it to be somehow your own personal document that you could share with the media as you wanted to?
Correct.
Through a friend?
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president as a private citizen. I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
Yeah, so again, there it was, this idea as a private, my recollection. Well, that is not how the FBI is treating it. The FBI is treating this as a government document. FBI claims they were all deemed to be government documents, all of the Comey memos. We'll take more of your phone calls as we come back.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now. You can also get your comments in on social media. We'll take some of those during the break as well. Scott just said, how's the mainstream media reporting about this? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
So this is not a Fox News headline. When I saw this last night, it's finally out there. It makes sense to me. But it is shocking that Jim Comey would be so bold in those hearings to say, I did this so it wouldn't be classified, and I consider these memos to be my own personal documents and not government records. Here's The Hill. This is, of course, a newspaper that follows closely what's happening on Capitol Hill. And we know now that the memos have been given to the special counsel, now believe also to the Senate Intelligence Committee to review, and their staff that has the clearance to review those. And there are seven memos in total about his conversations with the President of the United States, with Jim Comey and President Trump. Four of them have the classification markings. Now, those markings have become famous because that was what was being discussed with Hillary Clinton's emails, the classification markings. Here, Jim Comey obviously would have known, as he said Hillary Clinton would have known, but him even more so as FBI director, about those markings. The four that are classified, they're either classified as secret or confidential, but both meet, why we use this term classified. The other three are not classified there, but all seven are being treated to be government records, government documents. So that means, at a minimum, Jim Comey violated one criminal law provision. We're not talking about administrative law. Criminal law provision by taking government documents without authority. And regardless if the memo he leaked was confidential or classified or not, he violated that law. And you can go to jail for that. You can have serious financial penalties for that. If it was one of the leaked memos, then you get into the Espionage Act. That's 10 years in prison and major fines. But just taking the memo itself, again, has gotten now Jim Comey in real potential criminal trouble. I mean, we can say that with a lot of certainty if the DOJ seeks and the FBI seek to investigate this and prosecute it. Logan, we got calls. We got comments coming in. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air.
Yep, let's go to Dan, who's calling in Washington, D.C. You're on the air, Dan. A couple lines are open,
too. Yeah, hi. With all the questionable handling of government documents by Comey and Clinton, I was just wondering, have their security clearances even been revoked yet? Because I heard a story that Clinton still had her security clearances, and I was just wondering why that is, if that is.
Yeah, that's being right now, as of the last report, she does have her security clearances. You don't just lose them based off the termination of your job. You keep those clearances so that, I mean, many officials, I'm not talking about Secretary Clinton, but in government, sometimes to have even private sector jobs, you've got to have certain security clearances. I think a lot of folks understand that, who work in the aircraft industry or in any kind of government processing of documents, you've got to have some kind of security clearance. So people can take those clearances. You can get those clearances even if you're outside the government. You can go through that process if necessary for an employment position in the private sector. But there is a review being done right now at the State Department, an administrative review. So this would not be a criminal review. This is an administrative review of whether Secretary Clinton and some of her top staff, former staff, should have their security clearances removed and pulled. And so that review is ongoing, but there's been nothing reporting indicating that that's been finished and that her security clearance has been lost. In fact, the last reporting on this in June was that she still had it. In Jim Comey's case, I'm sure he still does still have his clearances. There may be an investigation into that as well at the FBI. I think that obviously if there was a criminal prosecution, which there could be here, that would certainly come with it. That would be one of the administrative penalties.
To clear, some people are asking, and our producer even said, just because they have clearance, though, doesn't mean they have access to the content.
Right.
It's not like it's just, oh, I go online to ihaveclearance.com.
Right. You could have the highest level government security clearance and work for a private company. That does not let you go look at all of the highest level classified information, top secret information, the government. It means that if your job requires you to see a document that would be at that level, you can do it so that you can perform your job. So that's why. It's not, it doesn't give you access
right.
to a database. It allows you to see things as you need to. And if you don't have the clearance, you're not able to see that specific document or get that specific kind of information. So I hope that clears that up for people. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. What are comments as well, Logan? I know that was a comment coming in, but are people shocked with this? Are they?
No, I mean, I don't think
realize
they are.
The game that is being played
here? I think they're
hoping
now that there can be consequences, but yes. Now there's no real shock. You know, the fact that he thinks he's above the law hasn't been anything new. Linda asked, when's the next FBI director going to be appointed? Where are we at with that?
He's got his confirmation hearing set. Christopher Wray is coming up. Very soon. Also, what is the Lynch behind the scenes hearing? Put that in the chat, Will. That's a closed door. That's a former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. That hearing will not be public. That's happening soon as well. And then there has been a date, so we'll pull that now. I saw that in the news that the person nominated to be FBI director, Christopher Wray, has a date to be go through the confirmation process. So I'll give you that specific date in just a moment. Right now, there's an acting director of the FBI who was Jim Comey's deputy, is now in that acting role.
Yep, that's right. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. I think let's go to Jamie in Houston, Texas, on line one.
Hey,
you're on the air. Jamie, you're there.
Hey, yeah, I was wondering just because. Well, the last few callers already answered quite a few questions I had. There's too much to ask. But if Comey admits it, then that it seems like that's okay. Nothing's going to happen to him. He goes on because he admits it. You know, where we go from there? It's kind of like the girl I hear about over the weekend that's calling for jihad on Trump, whatever that's all about.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah. All the video as well, yeah. Yeah. And you just, you know, well, first of all, here's the difference, Jamie. Is that we can't let people act this way. I think that you're right in the sense that if we let people like Jim Comey, these top-level government officials, FBI director, take government documents, which is a crime, it's definitely a misdemeanor, could be a felony. Okay, so he takes government documents. They don't even have to be classified. Four of the seven appear to be classified. Now, he kind of indicates that he gave those back or something in his hearing. That's a bit, again, a question. There's questions here, but there are crimes now that could be prosecuted right now. You don't need to even go to that step. And I think you would want to because you could bring more charges against Jim Comey. The difference is between what that video you're talking about, though, is that's again, that's talking. Now, some speech can enter into the world of criminal, but what Jim Comey did was not just talking. He was taking from the government documents, materials, without authority, as the statute says, the criminal statute says, and using them for himself. They were not his personal recollections, and the FBI is treating them as government documents. We've got a second half hour coming up. We're going to dive into all of the laws. This should be fun. All of the criminal laws that Jim Comey could have violated here. We're going to talk about it coming up next on Jay Sekulow Live. Stay up to date. Go to ACLJ.org, our Facebook page as well. Logan, people can keep calling in. Of course, take comments.
There's another half hour of the show, and you don't want to miss it. Join us on live Facebook and Periscope if you don't carry us on your local station. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. ACLJ.org, you can watch the stream. You can get his archive later on in the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Make sure you download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store on your iPhone, your iPad, Apple TV, or Roku. And make sure you follow and like us all on Twitter. That's Jay Sekulow, ACLJ, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow. Find out everything you need at ACLJ.org to get involved in the latest issues. And again, if you lose us here, log on over online, Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. Right back with another half hour of Jay Sekulow Live right after this.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Jim Comey creates government documents. Creates government documents. That's how the FBI is treating his memos. Takes them so that a special counsel gets appointed. I mean, that is literally, he testified. Now, he didn't testify that they were government documents because he knew he couldn't do that. So he testified that these were personal documents for the purpose of having a special counsel be appointed. And we have this on sound. Do we have the bite, guys? Where he says he did this on for that reason, that he put this together to get a special counsel. And then 2 days after the leak, there was, in fact, a special counsel. Let's play it.
Did you show copies of your memos to anyone outside of the Department of Justice?
Yes.
And to whom did you show copies?
I asked, President tweeted on Friday after I got fired that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night because it didn't dawn on me originally that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
Yeah, and then guess what? A special counsel gets appointed, literally, Logan, 2 days later after these memos. And you look back again, there's also a long line of history that could be investigated about the reporter at the New York Times. I'm not saying go after the reporter, but who was the one who was basically always the source of leaked info out of the FBI that would come from like the FBI director's office and through this Columbia Law professor friend. I mean, there's a lot to investigate when it comes to Jim Comey. And I'm not just talking about administrative penalties. I'm talking about crimes, criminal conduct. And you punish this in the United States because this is unacceptable for our top-level government officials to be committing crimes in the duty of their office. I mean, we're not talking about an unrelated criminal activity of Jim Comey. We're talking about crimes related to his work as FBI director, and that's why you cannot give a pass on that. You can't let it go in these situations. And I think that there's a lot more here. This is just the tip of the iceberg. As we're finding out now, not only are the memos all government documents being treated as such by the FBI, four of the seven are classified. Okay, so the one he leaked to his friend, there's a 50-50 chance there that it was one of the classified documents. So that would be a violation of the Espionage Act. Let's say it wasn't one of the classified documents. Well, it's still a violation of USC 641, which is the taking of government documents and is punishable even up to 10 years in prison, depending on what the value is proven to be. And that can be an intangible value, especially when you're talking about discussions with the president that help lead to a special counsel being appointed, which cost taxpayers millions upon millions of dollars to pay for.
All right, let's take some. Well, we actually have a minute and a half. Let's not take some calls.
Yeah.
Hey, Cody just asked something you could probably answer. Why would Comey worry about the tapes unless he lied?
Why? I think that Jim Comey, again, that whole tape issue. First of all, Jim Comey could have taped this. We don't know that. We don't know if Jim,
right.
We don't know. I mean, on his iPhone or whatever device.
You got to think you can walk in your phone, click record. There you go.
And we live in a day and age where meetings, even closed door at the White House. I think that's why he tried to put this again back on the president. He is the one in hot water now, though. Okay, when it comes to actual crimes, it is not the White House. It is not the president of the United States. It's Jim Comey, who had every reason to be fired as FBI director for what he did and how he handled the Clinton investigation. And now with this, look at this. Look, I mean, think about this.
Yeah, how
folks.
Are people even questioning this?
Should there even be a special counsel now that he took government documents and leak them out, violating the law to get a special counsel? Should that even exist? Take your calls about that. Or is it time for the special counsel to say, you know what? I mean, the whole intention, purpose of the reason why we were created was based on a crime. That is not a good standard in the United States of America. We'll take your calls about it.
We'll be right back. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Exclusive video comes up during the break if you're watching online. Because, again, the show doesn't end. We don't take breaks. If you watch online, this is facebook.com/jsekiel, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com. Can't you see, oh, can't you see
what that woman does? She's been good to me. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're just joining us, the breaking news today, this is out of the mainstream media, actually, The Hill, which covers congressional info. I wouldn't loop them in with like NBC, ABC, or CBS, a little bit different. This is the headline: Comey's private memos on Trump conversations contained classified material. Four of the seven had the classification markings of either secret or confidential, and the FBI is treating them as, has deemed them to be, not treating them, deemed them to be government documents, which is different than what Comey said. Comey said that they were his personal recollections, which would be different. We've been saying from the beginning, there's no such thing as an FBI director's personal recollections. Of his immediate recollection meetings with the President of the United States when he's writing them on a government laptop. And this is not his memoirs being published, but when he's writing them on a laptop in the FBI vehicle on an FBI computer, then filing them at the FBI. And then now we know some of them got even classification markings, secret or confidential. So we know now a lot more about the information that Jim Comey, what's behind this special counsel getting even appointed. I think that raises questions there. If criminal conduct is the reason why, by a now former FBI director, is the reason a special counsel was appointed, is the special counsel really justified and appropriate in that kind of a situation? But Harry, I want to go to you and just kind of walk through briefly the laws and penalties that Jim Comey may have actually it looks like certainly on the taking of government property or records, that would be 118 USC. We start there, Section 641, that appears to certainly be a criminal violation that Jim Comey would be pretty easy to prosecute on.
Absolutely. So I think the real question with respect to a Section 641 is whether he leaked something of value, and if so, what was the value of the record or the notes or the information which were indeed leaked? Clearly under 641, Mr. Comey is looking potentially at a misdemeanor violation and possibly a felony, which is punishable by up to 10 years. So this is a very serious issue. In connection with that, we know that the FBI has deemed these memos to be government property, which is contrary to what Mr. Comey claimed in his sworn testimony before Congress. In addition to that, of course, it's very possible that he leaked classified information And that puts him in the frame potentially under Section 793D. Again, he's looking potentially at a felony conviction, and he might be subject to up to 10 years in prison. Also, I think it's important to note that Mr. Comey engaged in deliberate and intentional misconduct, arguably. Clearly, if that's true, he cannot deploy the Hillary Clinton defense. In other words, with respect to Hillary Clinton, he asserted last year that she did not intend to engage in this alleged misconduct. That defense is not available to Mr. Comey. In addition, of course, it's possible that he violated the Privacy Act.
Right. And the Privacy Act, to just explain it to people again, it's still a basis for criminal liability. It's like if someone at the IRS disclosed your tax returns. I mean, it's basically any improper disclosure of. So if this meeting between the president and Director Comey and the notes from that meeting were considered to be government documents, so if they met that standard of 18 U.S.C. 641, then because they identified an individual, the president of the United States, and those conversations within, just like how your tax returns would identify not just your name, but information about you, there is a law that protects all of us, including the president of the United States.
Absolutely. So if he violated the Privacy Act by identifying the president personally, that would subject him to a misdemeanor penalty. And the provision, I believe, is Section 552A of the U.S. Code. In addition, of course, he's probably violated procedures and policies at the FBI. So one of the things that we have to consider here is that Mr. Comey's activity dispels the notion that he was a Boy Scout, that he complied meticulously with the law.
Yeah.
Instead, Mr. Comey has revealed himself as a self-serving individual who's looking to advance his own interests as opposed to the public interest.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the FBI itself, I think that explained things for people. I mean, what Jim Comey is facing, the FBI itself takes the Privacy Act alone, which would be one of the lower charges here, but still criminal misdemeanor charge here, so serious that they have a division within the FBI that just handles Privacy Act concerns. So this whole issue of, is it a government document? Is it a private document? Well, the FBI has now deemed this to be government documents, which then invokes the Privacy Act in those conversations. Take a listen, because Harry brought this up, the idea that the standard of Hillary Clinton, I guess those standards were too high for Jim Comey. Listen to him in his own words by 22.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
Well, I mean, if he had leaked, if that memo that was leaked was one of the ones marked classified, he went past the just, you know, mishandling of it. He actually intentionally leaked it. But the second part there, Harry, is that just taking these documents alone is a crime. So if he took these seven memos as indicated, considered them private, had them in his private possession, now it appears that he's handed them all over to the special counsel, though he can't confirm or deny whether or not his friend still has the memo. And does handing him over to the special counsel mean that he doesn't have a record of it himself? He's violated that as well. And you don't have to have intent.
Absolutely.
Know, that's important with a lot of these laws, is the intent is really not necessary.
So, for instance, if we focus on the Espionage Act, clearly, with respect to the alleged violations involving Hillary Clinton, intent was not required. Mere recklessness was sufficient. He suggested that her misconduct was extremely careless. That's enough for a conviction. And it's even worse for Mr. Comey because he engaged in deliberate misconduct. In addition, Jordan, there's evidence in the record suggesting that there's a high probability that Mr. Comey leaked information to the New York Times before he leaked the information to Dan Rickman. Mr. Comey suggested that he leaked this information in response to a tweet by President Trump on May the 12th. On May the 11th, the New York Times published a report which is very, very similar to the allegations contained with respect to the leaked information coming from Mr. Rickman. What does that suggest? It implies that Mr. Comey may have been the leaker in chief well before he engaged in conduct designed to bring about the appointment of a special prosecutor.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, folks, I know it can be sound complicated, so let me just clarify it for you. The person who should be under criminal investigation right now, and may already be, is the fired former FBI director, Jim Comey. He obviously did not have a very good understanding of the law when he was handling the Hillary Clinton matter. That alone was enough for him to be fired. Had no business being FBI director. But he himself now has committed what appears to be, and again, you're innocent until proven guilty in the courts, but not on this show, and not in the courts of public opinion, and with the evidence that we have and is being reported. If we rely upon that, I think you can convict Jim Comey of crimes. Maybe very serious crimes, maybe less serious crimes, but criminal nonetheless, which puts everything, it changes everything about this whole investigation, because it means that the reason why the investigation was started was because a fired former FBI director conducted criminal activity. Do you realize that? That would be the basis for the appointment of the special counsel, criminal activity by the fired FBI director. We'll take your calls and your comments on it. We'll take all your phone calls. This is the final segment coming up. We take all of your calls.
Yeah,
and
phone
questions.
Lines are completely jammed, but they'll open up as we go to break and we take more calls during the beginning of the segment. Some lines will open. You can always get your comments in, though. So the phone lines are never jammed on the comment section. Doesn't make any sense, but you understand what I'm saying. Get your comments in on social media, facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. You can also tweet us at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow. If you have a comment, hey, tweet me directly because I can probably get it on air faster. Again, give us a call though when the lines open up. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. We'll be right back.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The breaking news today, and I don't think it is that Donald Trump's son and some campaign folks met with someone who was, by the way, it was a setup from a liberal organization, Fusion GPS, and basically paid for hire guns who will do opposition research on anybody.
Yeah, I want to make clear, these are people that are, their job is to take you down.
Is to take you down. And they work for either side, but they went in with the Democrats on this one, on the presidential race. Supposedly, they set this meeting up. But, okay, let's say that this meeting happened. Anything inappropriate about someone's coming to the Trump officials and saying that we think Hillary Clinton is receiving illegal campaign donations from Russia? Well, no, that would not be illegal. And then second, when it was clear that that was not, there would not even be, that's not even colluding. That's just like information that you'd want to know, right? That's not the Russians helping the Trump campaign. That would be information you may need to know about your client. But they said once it was clear that that wasn't really the case, okay, they're not alleging that Hillary Clinton did that and didn't believe the person. The person was really there for another reason, and that was to lobby against a U.S. law, and that was it. They ended the meeting. No follow-up because they realized that this was a setup. So they realized it was a setup, and now we can confirm. You know, it was a setup by a liberal group set up to do opposition research and to take candidates down. And in this scenario, I think they were building Logan, and then I'll get to the phone calls. They were building Donald Trump had got the nomination at this point. It was before the convention, but he had the nomination. They were already building the narrative for what if Hillary Clinton lost, because everyone knew, even though he was an untested candidate, she was a very weak one.
Right, exactly. You saw that narrative being built, you know, upwards of a year ago now. We're seeing this situation where they started to put stuff in place. Not uncommon to have opposition research. Everybody does it. But to have these situations where you're, you know, essentially fraudulently calling for meetings, trying to get them to, it's just ridiculous. And it's something that we've seen now. And again, like you said, today's breaking news is this Comey situation. But a lot of the mainstream media will be covering the Russia meeting because it fits their narrative. It doesn't fit now, it's not the news, if you would look at it. It's not. It's the narrative built by the mainstream media. Let's go ahead and take a bunch of phone calls, though, because a lot of people have been holding for a long time. Brenda's calling in Georgia. Brenda, on line 5, you are on the air.
Hello. I was just wondering if Comey will be able to claim the whistleblower status.
I don't believe so, because the whistleblower status has a way, Harry, you've got to work through. It has procedures set up for the – so if you want to get some protection through that you have to follow procedures, and he didn't do that.
And there's no evidence that he complied with the requisite policies and procedures. He didn't even claim whistleblower status, and there is no whistleblower statute that would protect him, for instance, from a perjury conviction if his sworn testimony, for instance, before Congress proved to be false after an investigation.
Yeah.
So I think he's still looking at some serious
charges. I'm not even sure he could try to use that as a defense, because the way the statute's written, this is how you go to a Congress. You do it through this specific way. If you don't take those steps, and it's very clear, if you don't take all the steps correctly, you lose the protection under the whistleblower statute. Logan, back to the phones.
All right, let's do it. Again, a lot of people have been holding for a while. Let's go to John in Missouri on line 6. You're on the air.
Hey, yes, sir. Hey, I'm got a question and a comment. First one, I'm just kind of dumbfounded about how Comey can just go under oath and, basically say, hey, here I am. I did it. I leaked all this stuff. Spill the beans like this. Just and hope to have what? I mean, what other than the counsel? What would be his ulterior motive of even doing something like that? And then as far as a comment goes, I was in the military, had a top-secret SCI in the Air Force, and before I could even log in to a classified or unclassified system, you had to scroll down to this laundry list of do's and don'ts, UCMJ violations, before you could click the agree button, which gave the government rights to that computer, saying everything you do on it is observed and is their property. So how could, if he's doing all this stuff on a government computer, how could he think he's, it's his personal stuff? And
I think, again, he was under this, remember, he got away with it with being judge and jury in Hillary Clinton's matter. And so I think he thought, in a sense, he was above everyone else. And you see that in his testimony. He was the righteous one. So, like, the law didn't apply to him. Or he didn't have a very good understanding of the law. But yeah, I mean, like you said, he admitted to typing it on his government computer in his government vehicle, sharing that this info with his FBI employee colleagues, and then storing them at the FBI for future potential use. That does not go along with, I wrote these down as my own personal notes.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think Mr. Comey has been gifted with supreme arrogance, but he's been blinded by his desire for revenge. And ultimately, he may have hoisted himself on his own petard.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, again, that going under oath, doing it publicly, all of that, again, it just builds the crime, leaking the info. He wouldn't go away quietly. He wanted that special counsel, but this may be the reason why Jim Comey ends up behind bars.
Let's go to Doug, who's calling on line three. Doug, thanks for holding. Quickly.
You bet. Hey, are you folks confident that anybody, whether it's Comey, Lynch, Obama's, Clinton, anybody will be prosecuted? Is anybody diligently working behind the scenes to bring about a prosecution?
You know, I do believe that there would be people looking at all of this right now. Obviously, Jim Comey's conduct, whether or not it's being done at the FBI level, whether it somehow fell into the special counsel's purview, I don't know. It wouldn't necessarily. It would not necessarily have to do with the Russia situation. So it would probably be separate from that, especially because of Mueller and Comey's personal relationship. But if it is ongoing, which it should be, one, it's not necessarily it should be quick. It's two, you'd have to go through the grand jury process. Those are all secretive processes to protect all Americans, even people like Jim Comey, from you know, the leaks and the information coming out. Because ultimately, if they decide, you know, not to prosecute, not to indict, then you don't have the charges filed against you. But in this situation, this would likely meet the standard for having to do a grand jury, right? I mean,
absolutely.
The only one that might not is if you just went with 641 and it just considered a government document and not one worth, you know, more than a misdemeanor.
I think that's correct. But what argues actually in favor of a potential conviction for Mr. Comey is the fact that the FBI has affirmatively determined that his notes were indeed government documents, contrary to his claim before the United States Senate. In addition, he transmitted arguably classified information. If he did that, there should be a serious investigation, and more likely than not, he should be found guilty.
All right. Well, thank you guys all for listening. We appreciate it. Sorry to the three callers. Yeah. You guys were on hold for a long time. Maybe we can get you books. Can we talk to them, give them something?
Yeah.
Joe, Don, and Rebecca, all you had great comments. We just ran out of time, and we really apologize for that. Again, if you ever want to hear us, ever want to get your voice heard, you can always give us a call, but you never know. Sometimes topics go off, and we take as many calls as possible. But again, if you want to check in with what we're doing at the ACLJ, find us at aclj.org. Join us on social media. That's like or follow us at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at ACLJ. On Twitter, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySeculo. Download the ACLJ app in the App Store for your iPhone, your iPad, Apple TV, and on Roku. You get it in the channel store on Roku and subscribe to the Jay Seculo Live podcast. You get it directly to your podcast app each and every day. Talk to you tomorrow with more on Jay Seculo Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.